If you could all please remain standing, we're going to pledge to the flag of the United States of America, then to our Christian flag, and then to the Bible. So everybody who is ready, face the American flag, attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And salute the Christian flag, attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Let's face our Bible here. Everybody's attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Remain standing, please. Thank you all, and you can be seated. Thank you to everyone who has joined with us here this evening for this great occasion, high school graduation. I remember mine a long, long, long time ago, many, many moons ago, but I was excited about it then. I'm still excited about it today, and we're excited for these three seniors that we have here from the 2018 graduating class of Freedom Academy. Thank you for coming. We want you to just enjoy yourselves this evening. This is a formal occasion, but at the same time, we want to make it as personal as we possibly can and make sure that our graduates are able to receive everything that they want and everything that they need in the service this evening. So we have a lot of things lined up. If you didn't get a chance to get a program, you'll notice it there. There's a whole lot of different things that are there. We're going to try to condense it as much as we possibly can because we know that you're busy and so are we. But we are here tonight to honor these three for hard work and for getting the job done and making it through a tough year, and we're very, very thankful for them. I could tell stories about all three of them. I have known Steve longer than the other two put together almost, and Steve and I, we go back a little ways, and he's my buddy and he's my pal, but man, I have come to love Nick and Larissa as well, and we're very excited for them, and we're looking forward to see what God has for their future. So let's say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get things started here with the congregational. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your blessings. We pray this evening, Father, as we try to honor you first and foremost in this place, that you will receive that honor unto yourself, and that you will, dear Father, bless all that is done and all that is said here, and let it be in the center of your perfect will. And we ask you, Father, that if there be someone here this evening that has not found God's will for their life, especially someone who does not know Jesus as Savior, we pray that right now, Father, you'll begin to tenderize their heart and do a work and prepare their heart to receive the seed of God's word. And we're going to thank you for all of that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Now, I know you just sat down, but can you stand one more time and find a red hymn book? This was one of the songs that our young people love around here. It's 548 in your red hymn book. I want you to grab one of those and let's sing all three verses of this little song. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. It's 548. If you don't know it, let's sing it together. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Verse 2, You're my friend and You are my brother, even though You are a king. I love You more than any other, more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. I want You on the third. I want You more than gold or silver. Only You can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Sing it out now. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my heart's desire. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Thank you. You all can be seated. We appreciate that. Very quickly, I'm not going to have another opportunity to be up here and to share a whole lot of things this evening. And so I had something that I sort of talked to our staff members about, and I just said, look, I want to do this tonight. If you all will permit me to do this, I want to say a word about our teachers, if I possibly can. And just a quick question here, and you're going to tell on yourself, you're going to tell how old you are when you raise your hand. How many of you are familiar with the name Paul Harvey? Raise your hand. Look at those gray heads. You see those people? Yeah, Paul Harvey was a radio commentator. I think he's dead now. I'm not exactly sure, but if he's not dead, he's an old guy now. And he had a daily broadcast, sometimes twice a day, and he gave commentary on a host of different things, just down-to-earth information, good, solid stuff from a really, really great American. And one year, he wrote a tribute to farmers. Some of you might have heard that maybe when he broadcast it, or some of you might have heard it later in recording form. But he wrote a tribute to farmers that just went everywhere, and everybody loved it, and everybody wanted it, and everybody reused it. And one of his students, several years later, actually wrote a similar tribute to teachers. And here's how this goes. On the ninth day, God looked down at His paradise and caretakers and said, to have a just world, you will need to be educated. So God made a teacher. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, greet the children at the door, be a positive role model, be entertaining, creative, innovative, and inspirational. Somebody willing to offer extra help, sponsor a club, attend a basketball game, then eat dinner, then grade and plan for the next day well into the night. So God made a teacher. He said, I need someone who understands that education is for bettering lives, not just test scores. So God made a teacher. Teachers will need to have a sense of humor about snotty noses, soiled pants, classroom interruptions, bubble sheet tests, eternally changing curriculums. Can I get a witness from our teachers on any of this? Meeting upon meeting, crazy helicopter parents, and being asked again and again at the most inopportune times, can I go to the bathroom? God said, I need somebody who will have a profound impact on the world around them and be okay knowing they will never know exactly what that impact is. Somebody who won't make a fortune, but who will make a difference. Somebody whose only special interests are the children sitting in front of them. God said, I need somebody willing to put the needs of others' families ahead of my own, willing to spend their own money for another child's supplies, willing to go hungry in the afternoon so someone else's child won't. So God made a teacher. God had to have somebody to help students deal with divorce, unemployment, homelessness, hunger, loneliness, addictions, depression, sexuality, anxiety, disabilities, bullies, and language barriers, and then be able to teach and challenge and motivate and inspire. God said, I need somebody who never dreamed their choice of profession could cost them their life, but if confronted, not hesitate to protect the ones they call their children. So on the ninth day, God made a teacher. I read that this week, and I prepared some comments for a special teacher in our school. Jennifer Walker has been with our school for 14 years, and she is the epitome of dedication. And I know what I'm talking about. The word dedication in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is defined as self-sacrificing devotion. But how many of you know that's not all that that word means? It has synonyms that go along with it. Some of the synonyms are adherence, commitment, allegiance, devotion, and wholeheartedness. That says a little more than what just dedication says. Antonyms, if you've been in our school any length of time, you know what those are. Antonyms meaning opposites of dedication. What are they? Apathy, disloyalty, and unfaithfulness. And when I think about Mrs. Walker, I don't see any of those antonyms in her life. She's never been apathetic. She's never been disloyal to this school. And she's never been unfaithful to this school. In every class, I can testify as someone who has been rubbing shoulders with her now for 4 years, I can testify that every class that she has ever had and every class that she's taught has been on point, and we have never had to worry about the academics of her students. Not every teacher has that gift. Some teachers are just doing it because they think it's going to produce a dividend or a pay scale. Mrs. Walker has given sacrifices over and over and over and over, and it's noticed. There is no task, as her supervisor, there is no task that I've ever given to Mrs. Walker that she has welched on or that she did not complete successfully and with quality. Some of those tasks have been, imagine the madness now, large group trips. And if you think that is an easy task, you need to come and hang out with us while we prepare. Some parents kind of tag along on the trip, but the preparation and the labor that goes into preparing those is unimaginable sometimes. She has had the task of coaching volleyball, cafeteria duty, organizing fundraisers, and much, much more. I have personally watched her wash cars. I have personally watched her organize yard sales. I have personally watched her work fall festivals way up into the night and do things that every time were profitable for this school. And any parent in this building or any parent who listens to this later whose child has sat at the feet of Jennifer Walker has been blessed and should feel very grateful that she has influenced your kid's life. Any anxiety that Jennifer Walker has experienced was well hidden. Our school has gone through some tough days. Our school has gone through some times when we were all very anxious and we were all very frightened, and none of us really knew what the outcome was going to be. Recently, we've experienced some blessings and we've seen some good days. I want to remind you that Jennifer Walker was there in the bad times, and she kept her nose to the grind. She kept her hand on the plow. She never turned back. She never wavered. If she ever said anything negative, we all said we know she doesn't mean it, because the next day she just showed up again. She always hit it well. She always steamed ahead. She always completed her task over and over and over and over with virtually no supervision at all. Jennifer Walker is not a hypocrite. I want to say that one more time. She is not perfect, but she's not hypocritical about it. She knows her imperfections, and she'll share them with you if you get close to her. She's quick to utter one of her favorite sayings. Y'all know what it is? It is what it is. As an administrator, I've never had to worry about Jennifer Walker on any level. You've seen the news. You have seen dreadful circumstances that have taken place in schools where teachers were less than they should have been on a moral level, on an academic level, and so many other levels. That's not the case with Jennifer Walker. She's been professional. She is given to detail. She is punctual. She is competent. She is devout. And I could just keep adding adjective after adjective after adjective. She is not lacking, and I want to underscore that, she is not lacking in one of the most needful qualities of any middle school teacher: firmness. No student ever wondered who was the boss in her classroom. Jennifer was not only academically capable, and is not only academically capable, but she added a spiritual dimension to our school as well. She's the quintessential two-edged sword. She gets the job done academically. She has spiritual influence on our students. It's the total package. Many students will miss her biblical input. There are students in our school that are saved today because of the influences of Jennifer Walker. She's an ideal member of Brandon Baptist Tabernacle, something I thank God for often, and that has made its way into her classroom. Jennifer Walker raised a son who joined the United States Army, also, by the way, a graduate of our school, and is now stationed in the Middle East, serving our country faithfully. We get to hear reports periodically from him. Jennifer Walker has made this institution look good for 14 years that she's been with us. She was never, remember the antonyms of dedication, she was never apathetic. She was never disloyal. She was never unfaithful. And I'm glad to call her my sister in Christ. And on top of all of that, I hope to be able to call her my friend. If I'm ever in a fight, I want Jennifer Walker in the foxhole with me. Can I get a witness on that, church? You go ahead. Sometimes we have gems and treasures that we don't really know the value of them. Sometimes I heard it said one time about preachers of yesteryear that you don't know how tall a tree was until it's down. And this year we're losing Jennifer. Different circumstances have put her in a position that she needs to go elsewhere. She's doing it on good terms. I want everybody to know that. If she has a job here, if she wants to come back. And I want you to know this, Miss Jennifer. it's going to be next to impossible to replace you. And I speak for myself, and I think I speak for everyone else, you're going to be greatly missed on our staff. Would you come and join me up here for a moment if you don't mind? Sister Shay has something. We love you. This is something small, but we want you to know that we love you. We want you to know that. Would you like to say anything? This is a total shock to her tonight, by the way. Would you like to say anything? You can if you like. Thank you.
First of all, thank you. And secondly, none of those things that he spoke of were accomplished by myself. I was just telling Claudia earlier that I'm an ugly crier, and here we go. But none of those things that you spoke of were accomplished by myself. Goodness gracious. And probably 90% of those things you said weren't true. He says he never lies when he's wearing his blue suit, but he lied. I just want to thank everyone who's been here and supported me, and you know, my best friend Nancy, who's done all those things with me. I'm thankful to the Lord for this opportunity, and later on down the road, I hope you still feel the same way. I'll miss everyone, and I know God has great plans for you guys, and I love you.
Amen. We love you, Miss Jennifer. Give her a hand, everybody. She deserves it. I never lie when I have my blue suit on. You mark that down. I never lie when I have my blue suit on. And you can see these students that are crying because they know that there's going to be a big void right there in that spot. And we'll do our best to try to fill it, but I'm skeptical that we'll be able to get it all completely done. Thank you, Miss Jennifer. Thank you again for being a part of our school. I want to introduce Nick Gilbertson. Nick, if you'll come and join me here. Nick and I have known each other for about 2 years, and his family has become very precious to me. They came to our church for all the right reasons, and I'm thankful not just that they came and became a part of our church, but we were hoping when they came here that they would consider putting Nick in our school. And his heels were dug in at another school. He was very well liked and doing well in that other school, but his family felt led to put him here. And Nick, we are thankful for that. It has been a joy. It has been a privilege. He and I have been overseas together to Israel. I have seen Nick ride a camel. True story. If you've never experienced somebody riding a camel, you owe it to yourself. You need to go to Jerusalem and ride a camel. And he's an incredible young man. He has traveled. He has ministered on the mission field. And we are proud to have him as a part of Freedom Academy. And I want you to welcome him with me tonight as he gives his address, Nick Gilbertson. Thank you, Nick.
Good evening, friends and family. My name is Nicholas Gilbertson. I had the privilege of attending Freedom Academy for the past year of my senior year of high school. I was asked to share my testimony tonight. I was saved when I was 15 years old. I can't remember the exact date, but it was July of 2015. I was at a Word of Life camp for the week, and every Thursday, everyone at camp goes to the big fire pit at night to hear a singing and to hear a message. On that particular night, I forgot what exactly they were preaching about, but all I remember is that every point he brought up summed up my life exactly. So I tapped my counselor on the shoulder, and we both walked up to the fire pit together and prayed. Ever since I got saved, I have gone on 2 mission trips with the Word of Life College. The first was to the country of Belize, where a team of students and I helped a local church set up and run a vacation Bible school. And the second mission trip I went on was to the country of Trinidad and Tobago, where another team of students and I were camp counselors for a Christian camp for an entire week. Also, ever since I got saved, I have had a passion for wanting to visit Israel. I was fortunate enough to get to travel there 2 times, the first being with just my family, and the second, my family and I had the privilege of taking our pastor, Brother Bailey, with us. In conclusion, after I got saved, my life has changed. I have had a desire to go on mission trips and travel to Israel, and I even plan on attending Pensacola Christian College to major in criminal justice. Thank you.
Excellent job. Thank you, Nick. Isn't that a blessing? I knew that was going to be short and sweet, and it was, man. Great job, Nick. Thank you. Larissa, are you ready to sing? Larissa's too timid to give a speech, but she's going to sing a song with her family. So you guys come on down here and sing a barn burner. That's what we want, okay? We'll put them on yellow, Brother Steve.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see the way, he makes a way. He's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me. I love him, that's all I want to say.
How many sermons can be preached, yes, about this Jesus?
Yes.
How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior's done. Did I mention
that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way,
he makes a way.
He makes a way.
Did I
mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say.
I love
him, that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Brady family. Thank you all for singing that. Thank you, Larissa. We appreciate all of that. Steve Serrano and I are buddies. And I don't know how many classes I've had Steve in. I honestly don't know. I think I remember public speech. Do I remember that? And you took it 3 times? No, you passed it the first time, buddy. You're good. No, I'm kidding. He held up a 3. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, I kid with people all the time. I tell people, I say, Steve's my favorite student. And I sort of mean that because, I don't know, man, if you don't like Steve, there's something wrong with you. He's just an incredible young man, great personality, an exceptional student, really, really a good, good student. And we all love Steve around here. I'm going to put you on the spot, Steve. How long have you been in the school? Do you know? 4 years. So you came here maybe just about the time I got here, maybe just a little before. And Steve and I hit it off early, and he's played football with us. He has... he's been a part of all the activities and different things. He's taken trips with us, and we're thankful that he's been a part of our school. Parents, thank you for putting him here, and we're so thankful that he's been a part of this with us. I'm going to be sad to see Steve go. All of these, I'm going to be sad to see him go. But Steve is going to be missed especially. And he is our valedictorian. So he's coming now to the platform to deliver our valedictory address. Welcome him while he comes. Steve Serrano.
Thank you. My fellow classmates and I have reached our ending point of the school year once more. But let us not think of this as an end, but more as the start of our new lives. Each of us will go our separate ways, but let us not forget our memories in this school. For we have worked hard to attain our knowledge and greatness. As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Looking back now, I see that I've changed so much since I've set foot in this school. When I did arrive, I was quiet and nervous. As time passed, I made some friends, and I also got to know the teachers as well. As I moved up from grade to grade, I grew more and more comfortable with those around me. I even started to see this as a home. And now that I've gotten used to being here, learning alongside my classmates, as the valedictorian of the class of 2018, I'd like to say that I have enjoyed my stay here at Freedom Academy, learning and sharpening my skills. However, I've not done this alone. I have had many people throughout my 4 years help me throughout my 4 years. I'd like to thank God, my parents, and my peers for helping me reach this milestone. I will never forget the memories and moments I have shared in this school. As I graduate, I'd like to say to the student body to never give up, always work hard, and to never waver from your goals. Amen. And always remember to keep God first and seek Him for the will of your life. And He will guide and direct your path. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for that. First of all, I want to start off tonight by thanking Pastor Bailey and for everyone really that's worked here, Ms. Charlene and all them. I know from what I've heard in the history that it took a lot of people, like they said about Ms. Jennifer, just standing by it when they got here to recover it. And now we're seeing fruits of those labors. I'd also like to take time to congratulate each of the graduates. I've gotten to know each of y'all pretty well. I remember last year, when I came, I met Steve. Now Steve, like he said, Steve now is one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. Steve, I'll walk in early in the morning, have to like wipe the boogers off my eyes and stuff, and Steve will come up and just give me a big hug and hold on to me. I always remember that, and I almost expect it every day. I remember when I first met Steve. Now if you ask people on the football team, Steve probably wasn't the most athletic. He wasn't the most athletically talented. But one thing you could always say about Steve was that Steve was a hard worker. I remember when Steve would go down because his shins would hurt, but then he'd be right back up sprinting with the rest of the team. And that really told me a lot about Steve and how hard of a worker he was. And it really motivated a lot of guys on the team. I remember when I met Nick, too. I met him over the summer, and when I saw his facial hair, I told my wife, and I kid you not, Nick, I told my wife, if he's come to this school, he's going to have a rude awakening. It was probably because I was actually secretly jealous that he can grow a nicer beard than I can, and he's, what, 6 years younger than I am. But nevertheless, and I remember Larissa, she came in about halfway through the school year this year, but I'll tell you this, she has worked hard while she's been here to earn her degree and to earn her diploma. And y'all have all worked hard, and I'm very proud of y'all, and I'm glad that I got to know y'all, and I'm glad that God put me in your life. Tonight is a monumental night for you guys. I remember when I graduated, believe it or not, it was about 6 years ago. Yeah, I graduated about 6 years ago from high school, and I remember sitting there not having a clue what I was going to do next. I know what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to work with young people, but I had no clue where I was going to go to get my education. I had no clue who I was going to marry, et cetera, et cetera. This was all unknowns to me, and I'm sure it's unknown to you. But I'm telling you, this is a monumental point in your life. The word commencement actually doesn't mean an ending. It means a beginning, because now is a beginning for the next chapter in their lives. And I pray that you guys will stay by God. Remember what you've learned at this school. Tonight, in our passage that we're going to be reading, I'd invite you to open your books, Bibles, to Joshua chapter 1, the book of Joshua in chapter 1. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at a monumental time in the children of Israel and in Joshua's life. To give you a little bit of context, the children of Israel went out of Egypt and spent about 40 years in the wilderness because of their doubt. Because of their doubt and not choosing to trust God, God made the older generation die off, the younger generation grew up, and they were under the new leadership of Joshua. Joshua, as anyone would be going into an unknown realm, he was very nervous. He was probably very timid, like many of y'all are. And God gives Joshua some charges. He tries to encourage Joshua, and tonight I would like to give you guys some of those same charges. So if you're in your Bibles at the book of Joshua, I would invite you to look down at verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Real quick, I want to plug something in. This is the only verse in the whole King James Version of the Bible. This is the only verse that says the word success. So I want you to think about that. It says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the reason that we're here. I thank you for these graduates. And Lord, I thank you most of all for their testimony, that all of them have testified that they have trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, tonight I pray that as I open the Bible and bring your word, that I'd be able to encourage somebody and give them a charge and remind them of what they need to do after they walk out these doors tonight. Be with me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. three charges I have for you guys tonight that God gives that you can be successful. The first charge he gives is a charge for boldness, and this is found in verse 6, 7, and 9. You see it at the beginning of verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of a good courage." In verse 7, "Only be thou strong and of a good courage and very courageous." And then in verse 9, "Haven't I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage?" You know, reading this, it was actually kind of funny to me. It kind of reminds me of what my parents did and now what my wife does. Usually they have to tell me three times to get the point across. And that's the same thing that God does. He said it three times because that's how important it is. The word, God tells Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. The phrase "be strong" means to prevail, to be firm, or to press with a sense of urgency. In your life, you're going to be faced with many decisions, and you will have to determine to stand strong and prevail. When you are in need of strength, you can draw from several sources. Those sources are God's word and prayer. You should always have that time set aside in your life. You can draw from God's promises. You know, at the beginning of verse 6, he says, look, they need to be strong, be courageous, because I've already given them this land. I promised this land to Abraham, and I'm going to give it to you. Just be strong and be courageous. And God's made promises to you. Some of those promises, he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised that he will make your path straight if you trust in him. Always rely on God's promises. That's a great source of strength for you. God has promised you throughout the Bible of different things. Just remember that you can always draw strength from God's promises. Another place you can draw strength from is God's people, your church family. I pray that after you leave here, you would stay in church, because I promise you some of the best friends I have in my life are people that are saved, because you're going to have times when you're going to need strength, and the only people that are going to be able to encourage you the right way is going to be the people that are interested in your spiritual life. So keep around God's people. Stay around your church family. You will need to be strong in many situations in your life. We see that God tells Joshua not to turn from the law of Moses. He says not to turn from it to the left or to the right. Though we do not live exclusively under the Old Testament, we are instructed to obey all of God's commandments throughout the Bible. And if you want to be strong and be courageous, you have to live by all of God's commandments. It's going to take times where you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to stand for what you believe in. You know, in your life, it doesn't matter where you go. If you go in the ministry, if you work at a secular job, if you go to a secular college, or if you go to a Christian college, wherever you go, you're always going to have people that influence you. Some of them will influence you positively, and some of them will influence you negatively. And I speak from experience. I tell people in my own testimony, when I went to PCC, that this doesn't happen to everyone, but one of the things, the reason I had to leave was because one of my most backslidden years was at Christian college. Because you're around the Bible so much, you're at chapel every day of the week, you're at your services three times a week, and I'm telling you, you have to be strong. You have to stand firm. Don't let people that are negative in your life, negative influences, influence you. Be strong and be courageous, because I promise you, friendships with the wrong people isn't worth it. It's not worth your testimony to hang out with the wrong people. You know, make sure you are hanging out with the right people. Like I said, though, you know, in the book of Ephesians, I believe it is, Paul says that a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. Remember that. Stay around your friends. Stay around the right people. Because when you're around the right people, it's hard for that cord to be broken. Ephesians 6:10 also tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember that all your strength comes from the Lord. You don't have to worry about what people think about you, what people say about you. All you need to worry about is being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The phrase of a good courage means to be determined or to confirm in oneself. One thing that you guys have all confirmed in yourself is your testimony, your gospel. Be bold in that gospel. Remember that that gospel is what saved you. In Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. God saved you out of a situation. I know some of y'all's testimonies and how you were before you got saved, how you were before you went to a Christian school, and where you are now. Remember that. God took you out of a mess and he put you on a solid rock. He took you out of a mire and he put you on that solid rock. He gave you a solid foundation. Be bold in the gospel wherewith you were saved. You need to be bold in telling others about the gift that you were given. Remember, you are the one that's going to evangelize other people. A lot of people will look at you young people and look at you seniors and say that you're the church of tomorrow. That's not true. You're the church of today. You are what the church is going to build on. And believe it or not, studies say that almost 95% of young people, when they graduate and when they graduate from college, that they are out of church. And it's a sad statistic, but it's true. These next years are the most important years of your life. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. We've seen that God told the children of Israel to be strong and courageous because they were going into a foreign land. Things for you in these next few years may seem foreign to you, but remember, be strong and be courageous in the Lord. Now that we've seen the charge for boldness, let's look at the charge for obedience. God tells Joshua and the children of Israel to do everything according to the law. In these next years, you will leave your parents' house and you will be faced with some decisions that you haven't had to make on your own. You know, my dad was a pastor, and I can speak of this on my own. My dad was a pastor, and it didn't matter if I wanted to or not. I was going to three services. I was going to three services a week, and he ended up starting to preach at another church on Friday nights, so I was going to four services a week. I didn't have a choice. But then when I graduated, when you graduate, you have that choice. And you have the choice whether or not you're going to be plugged in at your choice or at your church. These are all choices that you're going to have to make. Your parents have done their best to put you in a Christian school and instill principles in your life that you can have a successful Christian life after high school. But it's up to you. You will be the one that has to decide whether or not you follow God. God commands in verse 8, do not turn from what the Bible says so that you can have a prosperous Christian life wherever you go. No one else can choose how successful of a Christian life you will have. It's all up to you. You are the one that's going to determine how close you stay to God and how much you do for God. No one else will decide that for you. It doesn't matter how much your parents pray, how much your parents pressure you. It's all up to you. It's all going to be your choice, and your testimony will be all up to you. God gave you the gift of salvation so that you can serve him and one day be with him in heaven. Make sure that when your life ends, that God will be able to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We've seen the charge for boldness and the charge for obedience. Now let's look at the charge for private worship. And that's found in verse number 8 as well. God tells Joshua and the children of Israel to meditate in the law. The word meditate here means to study. It means an extended amount of time studying. In the Psalms, David used that word a lot, saying that in your law have I meditated day and night. He said, blessed is the man that meditates. In one of the verses, he goes on to talk about it. And just remember, meditate in God's word. If there's one thing that I want to encourage you on, one thing that I want you to take from here, is always find personal in private time to have that intimate relationship with God. Always find time to have that. You're never too busy to read your Bible and pray. Throughout your life, you will have different situations, stresses, and sorrows. Take all of your concerns to God. He already knows what you're going through. All he wants is for you to come to him in faith. He knew what the children of Israel were going to face when they went into this land, but he just wanted them to trust you. God knows what you're going to go through. God knows what he has planned for you. All he wants you to do is to put your faith in him and to trust him and take the next step with him. You know, everyone has always said, and I found it more and more true as I've grown up, the safest place you can be as a young Christian adult is in the center of God's will. There's nowhere else that's safer for you. If you are in the center of God's will, that is the safest place for you to be. Don't only go with him with your concerns, though. Sometimes go to him with praises. Go to him and just thank him for all what he's done. Look back. I mean, tonight's a great night. Think about where he brought you from. Think about who he's put in your life, the different teachers, the different Pastor Bailey, everyone that he's put in your life. Think about that and just be thankful for what God's given to you. When you graduate from here tonight, you will have things that wear you down spiritually. Go to God, spend time with him alone, and bring your praises and concerns to him. and he will always be willing to listen, and you should always be willing to listen to him. The only way you can have a successful Christian life is by staying in constant fellowship with him. And that's why that part of the verse follows. He says, meditate in my law day and night. And he's like, and therein you will have great success. If you want a successful Christian life after you graduate from here, stay in God's word, meditate, and pray. And that is the ingredient to having a successful life. Tonight, like I said, is a monumental night for you graduates. Like the children of Israel, you will be going into what may seem like a foreign land. But make some commitments in your heart. Stand bold in the gospel that saved you. Be obedient to what the Bible teaches you. And spend alone time with God. You may not know what all your future holds, but you serve a God who does. Love him and follow him. He will never lead you astray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this night. I thank you for these graduates. Lord, as they leave here, I pray that they would just remember to follow you and to serve you, because there's no safer place they can be than in the center of your will. I thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to open the word, and I pray that you just be with us the rest of the night and help us to enjoy the fellowship. I pray all this in your heavenly name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brother. That is a blessing. Thank you for those encouraging words. And it is now time. Are you all ready? It is now time for us to award our diplomas to our three graduates this evening. I have them right here, if you all would stand. And I want you to have a hand clapping, foot stomping good time when we recognize these graduates, okay? The first one that we have here that we want to recognize tonight, Nicholas John Gilbertson. Come on down, Nick. Around this way. Let everybody take a picture. Good job, Nick. Good job. We also have a Bible for this young man. Yeah, give him a hand. He deserves it. And our next diploma is awarded this evening, to Larissa Michelle Brady. Come on, Larissa. Shake my right hand. Stand over here.
My girl.
Excellent job. Excellent job. Give her a hand, guys. She deserves it. And last but definitely not least, our valedictorian, Steve Serrano. Come on down, Steve. Shake my right hand. Picture time. Awesome. Give him a hand. We have also given each of these graduates a gift from our school, a copy of God's Word as a gift, to let them know that it'll be a compass to them when they're lost. It'll be water to them when they need it, and so much more. And we have a special gift to give to our parents. Nick, did you get your gift? You did, and gave it to Mom and others here. And here's one over here receiving a gift from Larissa. And here comes Steve with two as well. Good. Very good. Excellent. You all can be seated again. Thank you. Another song.
Just yesterday, I was small. I'm learning new things as I grow. Some people say I'm getting so tall. Where did that little kid go? Inside and out, God is making me new. You may not see it happening until he is through. Little by little, I'm changing. I'm somewhere in the middle, but God is changing me little by little. Sometimes it feels like I'm so far away from all that I know I should be. But His word says that He'll finish one day all that He started in me. I look at me and I don't understand, but God has a vision and God has a plan. Little by little, I'm changing, I'm growing. Little by little, I hope that is showing. I'm not who I'll be, I'm not who I was, I'm somewhere in the middle, but God is changing me little by little. But God is changing me little by little.
Excellent job. Graduates, would you please stand and face this congregation? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to, just the graduates, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you the graduating class of Freedom Academy 2018. Give them a big round of applause. And you may turn your tassels, please. You guys are next. We have one more special ceremony to do here real quickly. You guys ready?
The lighting of the candles symbolizes a new beginning. As our seniors light their candles, they do so for the last time as high school students. Their journey here is complete, and a new and exciting journey awaits them outside these walls. This light signifies the responsibility placed in them to be the examples, the disciplines, and the disciples and the leaders. For the past year, these seniors have carried their light with a steady hand, with grace, discipline, and with godly character. Their light has so shined in all that they have done. Now, the senior class of 2018 is prepared to pass along this privilege and responsibility onto the class of 2019. As they light the candles for the junior class, the juniors understand that they will be watched and looked up to and looked toward as an example of what is good and right in the eyes of God. You, the class of 2019, are now the leaders in both word and deed, and you will work together and support each other and rise up to be the challenge set before you in the same way as those who came before you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. As our graduates of 2019 extinguish their candles, their time as Freedom Academy students concludes. You are now officially the Freedom Academy graduates of 2018.
Let's all stand while they grow out, please. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you all again for coming. We're so glad that you were able to be with us. These graduates are extremely uncomfortable right now in those gowns. And so if you want to take pictures, make your way out there, snap some shots with them, and enjoy some time with them. We are going to have them out in the fellowship hall. And by the way, there are some light refreshments and some cake if you want to stay and eat with us. I'm all about cake. Can I get a witness on that? I felt some religion on that one, amen. And so we're going to have cake and some different refreshments, light things out in the fellowship hall. Everyone is invited to stay and join us for that. Get some pictures with these young people. Congratulate them. Let them know how proud you are of them, and let them know that you're going to be praying for them. Can I say that one more time? Let them know how proud you are of them, and let them know you're going to be praying for them. How many of you know that these kids are graduating into a different world than you and I graduated into? And so we need to pray for our young people and ask the Lord to bless them, ask the Lord to give grace. We're going to pray, bless the food, and we'll be dismissed. Father, again, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the encouragement of our school, and thank you, Father, for the faithfulness, the dedication of those who have made not just this event possible tonight, the hard work that's gone into that, but also, Father, the teachers that day after day after day, with faithfulness and determination and tenacity, they answer the call to a difficult position, a difficult job. And we thank you for them. We also thank you, Father, for these students that have soaked this up like a sponge and received the message, received the word of God, and received the academic lessons that we've been able to impart to them. We pray, Lord, that it would not be forgotten. We ask you, Father, to strengthen their hearts, strengthen their minds. Whatever discouragements, whatever difficulties face them around the corner, we pray that they would be protected. And that they would, as Coach Taylor said tonight, Lord, be courageous, be strong, stand with God, and always know that they'll never be alone. Bless them, Father, we pray, and bless our food. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Everybody go out to the fellowship hall and join with us for a little while. Straight out the two back doors and three doors down on the left.